from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Dave Damaschek.
The mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hi and hello, podcasters. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damaschek. What's going down? Hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66 in downtown Los Angeles, it's time to talk some college football. We do it every week right around this time, and we're going to be yapping with our old pal from AccuScore, the Blue Horseshoe himself, Zach Rosenfield. I'll tell you, everybody's been saying it now. You know, October, of course, is the best sports month. It's hard to debate. I'll tell you how perverse I am as a sports fan. My allegiance to Puck, I know this, I have to be in a pretty slim minority on this one, but here's how devoted I am to the NHL. I watched hockey last night. It's roughly game 6, game 7, game 8 for most NHL teams. I watched that in favor of watching the ALCS. That's right. That's what I did. I'm not going to apologize to you. If you're waiting for an apology, keep waiting. That's right. I love my Puck that much. October, the first month of the season. These games are absolutely meaningless, and I was watching it over the game 4 of the ALCS. I flip back and forth, though. The other thing I was thinking about, too, is it dawned on me as I was driving in here. So it hit me between the eyes like a musket ball. I was thinking that, you know, the Patriots and the Buccaneers are headed over to England to play a game in London this weekend. And I realized this can't be an accident by the league, by Commissioner Goodell. This is, the Patriots are the American Revolution Patriots, a.k.a. the soldiers who attacked and killed many of the king's army. Buccaneers are pirates. It's a fancy name for pirates. What did pirates do? You read your Treasure Island. You've seen the movies. They attacked the king's navy. You see what I'm saying? The only thing I can glean from this is he's what's the opposite of an Anglophile? That's what Goodell is. He doesn't like the British, apparently. Why else would he attack them in this manner? I don't know. It's a mind bender. If you have any thoughts on it, drop me a line at david710espn.com. Also, always a great idea to track me down on Twitter, at Damaschek. And right now, let's talk a little bit of college football with our old pal, the Blue Horseshoe himself.
He's the Blue Horseshoe. With his evil computers, he'll calculate who beats who. He's the Blue Horseshoe.
Yeah, here he is, everybody, from AccuScore.com, the site that has those evil computers cooking up 10,000 simulations of every sporting event there is, those baseball playoffs that I just referred to. I can't provide you with much of an eyewitness accounting of it. All right, I saw it. I saw the lousy umpiring. Our pal Jonah Carey, great column in the Wall Street Journal. Track it down. WSJ.com last week, I think it was, advocating for robots to finally take over for human beings doing the officiating, the umpiring in Major League Baseball. Hard to argue with if you've been following the postseason this year in baseball. And, the college football, the NFL, my Puck, even NBA's about to start. Here he is, everybody, the Blue Horseshoe, Zach Rosenfield. What's going down, Shoe?
Hey, Dave. I am back from my trip to Dallas, and welcome back to the show. Welcome you back to the show.
Oh, look at that. You take care of it. Self-serving. You welcome yourself back to my show. Well, welcome back, too, if that's not redundant.
Thank you.
All right, so how was the trip? You've been out there now 21 straight years. Disappointing for you as a Sooner fan.
Yes and no. I mean, I think, you know, I basically, it's always fun to watch a bad football team play an average football team, and that's what I got.
That's what it's come to now? Texas is even an average football team? I'll tell you what, college football is in a lot of trouble if you're right about that. And I'm not saying I disagree with you, because Florida, I'm sure you were consumed with the state fair. What is it called? The Texas State Fair? Is that what it is?
The State Fair of Texas.
The State Fair of Texas was going on. I'm sure you were, hammering the, you were doing the thing where you throw the sledgehammer and you try and ring the bell. What do they do there? You observe calves and such?
Yeah. You drink beer and eat sliced beef sandwiches, and an hour after the game, you beg your friends to go, and then they say no, and they show you all the extra tickets they have, and they buy as many beers with those tickets as you can, as they taunt you and drink the beer.
So, in other words, you were distracted. You didn't get a chance to watch Florida and Arkansas, did you?
No, I listened to it on the radio and actually kind of moseyed over to the big screen after our game to watch it. Yeah, I mean, but going back to the Oklahoma game, it was fun. It was intense. It was kind of fun to watch that game with nothing really at stake for the Sooners. You know, I was really impressed by the way OU played defense and was kind of really shocked by how unimpressed I was with Texas. I mean, I think that they got a lot of problems, and most importantly, not necessarily with Colt, but with their offensive line. I mean, their offensive line allowed Colt to get hit 16 times, sacked 5 times, and numerous holdings, numerous false starts, and just couldn't block to save their life. And I think even though they got by the Sooners this past weekend, that it might not show themselves in the regular season, but they're going to have trouble with whoever, if they do run the table, with whoever they should play in the national championship game.
Yeah, I do think, you're one of those guys who, like me, you're more critical of your own team than anyone else. And, Oklahoma is legit. Sam Bradford, you know, they still are the shoulder troubles of Sam Bradford away from being in the title picture right now.
I disagree with that. I really do disagree with that. I think Oklahoma, look, they're 3-3 with 3 losses by 5 points.
All right, but let's assume they would have beaten BYU in the first game, and they would have beaten Texas had he not gone out very early in that game. Well, now they only have 1 loss in the mighty Big 12. In other words, they're still in contention.
But Dave, those are really big assumptions. I mean, they both those games when Bradford went out, they left. They were ahead in the game. They were controlling each game that he went out, and they're probably one of the best 3-3 teams in a long time, but they're not they weren't a Sam Bradford away from playing for the national championship, not this team.
All right, fair enough. Well, we don't need to go too much into the Sooners because we have much to discuss. The BCS rankings are out now, and I agree with what you said earlier about Texas. And the same goes for Florida. Talk about surprising that they're not just obliterating everybody. You know, when they didn't do it to Tennessee, I thought, well, there's more to that. You know, maybe there is something to Lane Kiffin doing as much as possible to take the air out of the ball. But like we talked about with Ed Cunningham a few weeks back, that's harder to do in football than it is in basketball. So, but still, I gave them a pass on that one. But now this is a trend. This is the way it is. I mean, they're just not obliterating their SEC competition. And so, again, the BCS. I wrote a column for Page 2 this week that was intended as satire. Some people took it literally. I think you can still track it down at ESPN.com. Just search for Damashek and it'll come up there. But anyway, I wrote it. I said if and when Urban Meyer wins the BCS Crystal Trophy this year, what he should do as a statement is shatter it. He should say, no more games decided by computers. We need a playoff, and smash it on the ground. Because the difference between Florida and Texas and TCU and Iowa and Cincinnati is negligible. That's all I can, it's not like it's one down week where they almost get upset. These teams are just not much better than the pretty good teams they're going up against. I can only assume that the same thing would happen again against, like I say, about Cincinnati. Matter of fact, I have said many times, and Ed Cunningham agreed with it when he was on, when we brought this up, and I am against the BCS. Most people like a playoff. Absolutely, I'll sign off on a playoff, an 8-team playoff, the 6 BCS conferences and 2 wild cards, however you want to do. We can work out the details. If I had my druthers, though, I would just make like the BCS never happened. I say we jump into the Doc Brown DeLorean, travel back 20 years. We couldn't fit all the football teams into the DeLorean. That's just a 2-seater, so we need a really big jumbo bus to do it. But anyway, travel 20 years back into the past and just go back to the way things were. Dig this, the shoe. You on January 1. Now, of course, it's terrible that all these bowl games, the big games, are spread out over the week. They go into like January 8th and whatever. That's ridiculous. If you just had January 1, New Year's Day, you roll out of bed. Listen to these games, the shoe. You ready? The old school system, you understand, right?
Bring it, bring it.
All right, here you go. Your day starts. It always started with the Fiesta Bowl. These are the teams that were near misses. These are teams that are not going to win a national championship, but they're really good teams. They're among the top 10 teams in the country. I have it as Alabama going against Boise State. What a game that would be, right? That's a great game. Or if Alabama beats Florida, then you replace Bama with Florida in this game. Either way, though, Bama against Boise State. Who wouldn't want to see how those two teams do against one another?
Me, but go on.
All right, maybe I'm overhyping it, because you know what? Frankly,
that's
I agree with you.
You have a good list, but that's not the game you want to sell this on.
All right, good. So you see where I'm going here. Yeah, that's a fine game, but here's where it starts getting good, right out of the gate. If we go back to the old way, then we're going to have to blow up the Big 12. In other words, we'll be back to the old Big 8 and the Southwestern Conference. That means that the Texas Longhorns are presumably your Southwest Conference champions. So you have Texas, and then you take an at-large team. How about undefeated TCU? How about that battle in the Lone Star State? The Horned Frogs playing the Longhorns. How dandy would that one be? Now we're getting good, right?
Go on.
You don't think that game isn't a good game to you?
I think it's a good game. I mean,
undefeated TCU against undefeated Texas? See, it would all be clarified by day's end, too.
I'm glad it's before lunch. Let's get to the good ones.
That's not a good game. All right, now you're being a curmudgeon, officially, because that's a good game.
I think it would be a good game, but in the state of Texas, they would say, wait a second, our bowl game is against TCU, and TCU would love it. I think
win
that game.
Well, no, the only reason Longhorn fans wouldn't like that game is because there's nothing to gain by it. You never want to be the big boy playing the underdog, because if the underdog beats you, then it hurts your credibility forever. But yes, that's a good game. I don't care what you say. Then you get into the afternoon game, the granddaddy of them all before you get the doubleheader at night. The Rose Bowl would be Iowa. Now, let's say Iowa's undefeated going into that game. Undefeated Iowa, Big Ten champion, against USC with their one loss. You know, it could still be Oregon, but you understand. I'm saying USC here, or if it's the Ducks. Either way, that team would play Iowa. That's a very exciting bowl game, right?
Yes, but we have to go back one, because your listeners are going to jump all over you.
About what?
TCU is a member of the old Southwestern Conference.
Oh, you're right. All right, bitten by my own snake. All right, well, listen, we can fix this thing. Let's not get crazy.
I'm not showing you off. I'm saving you.
I know. I'm saying we can fix this thing. It could either be, you're right about TCU, though. So, yeah, that was an exciting game.
Why don't we ship Alabama to the Cotton Bowl, because that's a regional game.
There you go. And now you're talking about a Fiesta Bowl of two non-BCS schools. And by the way, that term would not exist if we were 20 years in the past here. But anyway, TCU against Boise State, whatever we'd call them, small conference schools that are undefeated.
Cincinnati can go there.
All right, but I think we're going to get to Cincinnati in a second here. But yes, so that would be, so the Fiesta Bowl now is Boise State TCU. All right. Then yeah. Texas Alabama. Now everyone's happy. Now you're happy, Shu? You feel better now?
I feel like we're doing it right.
Okay, Iowa and USC in the granddaddy. That's a good one. Now, see, and then January 1, I don't want to get back into this same conversation, but that was one of the two or three best sport. What's with the echo? I love it. The sound of my own voice. That sounds fantastic. My voice is echoing there. But anyway.
Like the sound of your own voice, Dave?
Oh, no, of course not. I'm a masochist. If I ever go back and listen to myself, it's just out of pure masochism. Gilbert Gottfried, as people like to say. The blend of if Gilbert Gottfried and Adam Carolla had a child together, it would be Damashek. I don't know if that's intended as a compliment either. I'm not positive. But as I always say, the much more flattering compliment is always to the late, great Myron Cope.
Congratulations and mazel tov.
Yeah, the late, great Steeler announcer. All right, so listen. Now we have January 1, though. So you had the 10 best teams, 5 bowl games. You rolled out of bed. It was among the 2 or 3 best sports days on the calendar. For me, the best sports days of the year are maybe the first, the Saturday of the divisional NFL playoffs, and maybe that Thursday of the March Madness tournament. You know, just the ability to play hooky, skip out of school and watch college hoops, 1-16 matchups, all that. But January 1, man, that was the best. You roll out of bed, great games wall to wall. And then you put your head on the pillow. 9 times out of 10, you knew who the national champion was every time. So, all right. So now you go into the 2 night games. And your Sugar Bowl is Florida. They're number 1. They're undefeated. We're assuming that because they will have run the table or Bama beat them. So it's either Bama or Florida going up against undefeated Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yeah, that would work. That would definitely
work. Oh, you're so underwhelmed. This is a great idea I'm laying out for you by just looking into our history.
No, but I'm liking it, Dave. I'm agreeing with it.
Oh, all right. You seem unenthused about it.
I am enthused. I like it.
Well, wait. You prefer what we're going to have, which is a big mess? That's what we're heading towards. Who's going to be satisfied by this?
I'll tell you the best part about what we're putting together right now is under the old way, we're also going to have teams that are playing for pride. And, you know, the current BCS kind of eliminates pride.
That's a good point, too. Nice fringe benefit.
So I'm looking at these games, and I'm remembering kind of going back to the early to mid-90s and the 80s, and I'm remembering games where even though it was New Year's Day and even though these guys weren't, quote, playing for anything, I remember them playing for pride in the sense that these games actually mattered.
Yes, it was a different level.
Games they are now.
Exactly right. There was a sense that you were on the big stage if you were playing on January 1. I remember that as a child, hearing that, hey, they're going to be playing on January 1st. They got into a January 1 bowl game. Wow. You know, that was a big deal way back when. Now, I defy even the most ardent college football fan to name for me the bowl games that are played on January 1. It's like Hall of Fame game and a bunch of nonsense now. So then your Orange Bowl is a nice matchup. It wouldn't be, it's a little underwhelming compared to a couple of the other ones. Oklahoma, your Sooners there against the Miami Hurricanes, because you'd have the Big Eight champion Sooners against Miami. They always wound up in the Orange Bowl when they were good, it seemed like.
Well, that's because Miami was independent during that
right.
time.
Right. That's exactly right. So you throw Miami. And, you know, we can shift it around. If the Sugar Bowl is superior with Florida and Miami going head to head, Cincinnati takes a loss somewhere, we shift it around a little bit. The point is, you could get closer to establishing who the best team in the country is with this old system than with the BCS, ironically. You know, and all that said, after all that wind up, I applaud myself. I hope you can see your way clear the shoe to agree that I'm on to something here. But thank you.
It makes for good podcasting, I'll tell you.
Well, I like it.
Podcasting and frustration.
With all what I just said, this season, Cincinnati might be undefeated, Iowa might be undefeated, TCU maybe, Boise State. I think that going into the year, that there was the expectation that it was going to come down to Texas and Florida, maybe Oklahoma, maybe Alabama. The way it's shaping up, you know, obviously Florida or Alabama is going to eliminate one or the other. So it does seem like if you look at what Texas has left and what Florida has left in the regular season, they both should run the table. I know I just got done saying that neither is a terribly impressive team, but neither is the rest of either schedule. I think you're going to wind up with, whether it's Florida or Alabama, one of those two teams is going to be undefeated, and they're, unless maybe Auburn knocks off Bama, and then Bama goes and turns around and knocks off Florida. Barring that, I do think you're going to see Florida and Texas play, and I guess compared to what we've seen in a few of the past seasons, I guess that's going to be a little more satisfying. How say you?
Well, I mean, you know, this past weekend was had a huge implications in the national championship spectrum. I mean, Virginia Tech, who was firmly entrenched as the top-ranked one-loss team, not only are they not there now, they won't even go to the ACC championship game.
Right.
Based on the way that their tiebreaker works. So Miami all of a sudden finds themselves in the driver's seat and in a very good situation, because even though they trail LSU in the BCS, LSU is due for another loss at Alabama, or Alabama will get eliminated. So Miami will finish ahead of, will only finish behind one of the SEC schools, even though there are two of them that are in front of them right now. The USC-Oregon game is shaping up to be huge. I mean, that's a huge game. Iowa is finally starting to get some respect within the human polls. I told you guys all along that the computers loved Iowa, and they do. Cincinnati is tied with Iowa right now, and they're actually barely trail Boise State, who, again, is a non-factor. Cincinnati's got a lot of problems because the guy who replaced Tony Pike is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And Pike really is the guy who made that offense run. He's a traditional drop-back passer. And the guy who replaced him is a run-first guy, and now Pike had some quick surgery on his left arm. They're trying to see if they can get him back in time. I don't think Cincinnati is good enough personnel-wise to be to run the table without Tony Pike. Boise State,
you're probably right, and they have a couple. You know, the once again, Pitt, like they did the West Virginia two seasons ago, stands to maybe be the BCS heartbreaker for Big East Cincinnati. That's the season finale there, and the way that Pitt team's playing.
I wouldn't define Pitt's season, though, as like as a spoiler. Pitt's a really good football team.
I don't want to get into them. Losing to NC State, you know, offsets everything else.
Sad, but I still think they are a very solid football team and very worthy of what their ranking is right now. I mean, they're 6-1, and they're a good 6-1. But you're starting to take a look at these things and which teams are really drawing dead and who still has a chance. And it's everybody in the top 10 has a chance, except I would say LSU has no chance because they're going to be out. Miami's a dark horse, and Oregon is a dark horse. If Oregon beats USC in Austin in a few weeks, and they did it 2 years ago with Mark Sanchez, and they're playing very good, Oregon has a legitimate shot to get in, providing Texas and Iowa lose. The question is Iowa going to lose? Iowa's a really solid football team. They're very good. The computers love them. They've already gotten the hard part of their schedule done. We don't know what Ohio State is. They could come out and play great.
I do. Average. That's what they are. They're average.
Yeah, they are average. There's a lot of average football teams out there. I would say if you're not Florida or Alabama this year, you're an average football team.
Florida, as I said earlier, I don't buy them as a great, great team. And maybe it's expectation. They weren't just supposed to be the best team in the country this year. They were supposed to be, you know, one of the 10 best teams of all time. They were going to be dominant, and they just haven't been so far. But, really, Alabama, the more you look at it, and we broke that down last week some, you know, I would have to say right now if those two teams were playing at a neutral site, I think I probably would take Alabama.
So you'd be crazy to do that. You know, the one.
How could I be crazy? How could I be crazy either way? It's a pretty close game.
Well, it's like we said last week. Our simulations have it as a very close game. Here's the thing about, in my opinion, about Florida and Alabama. Alabama are basically the best version of the New York Giants. I mean, they're the college version of the New York Giants when the Giants are playing good. Just dominant, controlling, tough defense, solid running game, functional quarterback. They get the W's. Florida never plays anybody out of conference. They never have under Urban Meyer, and they never will except for Florida State, and that's at the end of the year. Florida's team this year is not geared to, like, have, like, huge explosive plays like you would see from, like, Oklahoma last year or Texas. They just have better players than you. And in space and over the course of those games, those better players create bigger plays. And, again, they didn't do too well against Tennessee, but when Tebow fumbled, they're about to go up 24 points in that game. Wasn't the huge blowout, but it was a dominant performance by the Gators. The reason why I would take Florida over Alabama and will when they play is because of Tim Tebow. I don't think Tim Tebow is the greatest. I don't think he's one of the, you know, I think his resume is fantastic, but I think he makes a lot of mistakes. But Tebow, when it comes to crunch time, wins. You know, he was tied against Oklahoma in the fourth quarter last year. He won. They were losing in the fourth quarter at Alabama. They won. They were losing in the fourth quarter this week against Arkansas. They won. And when I take a look at things, especially coming from a stats company, I don't put all my eggs in a barrel where one quarterback is Tim Tebow and the other quarterback throws only completes 50% of his passes. Mm-hmm. And I think McElroy is still going to be the weak link in that Alabama offense until he proves he's not. And the only chance he's going to get to prove that is in the SEC championship game against Florida. Or if he fails before then.
Interesting point.
Keep over McElroy.
Interesting. And by the way, you mentioned putting your eggs in a barrel. That's probably a bad idea. They probably all crack and they get to be. If one cracks near the top, it'll all trickle down and ruin all the eggs. All get sticky, all even at the bottom of the barrel. So just put them in one basket instead. Just
you know, speaking of fun cliches, I was out last night with my godbrother, a guy named Jesse, and he was telling me, in baseball, do you know that when the guy who's not after on deck is not, he's not in the hole, he's in the hold, H-O-L-D?
You're kidding me, no.
No, yeah, my godbrother Jesse Mock told me that. I'm going to give him props on the air because I didn't know that, and I verified it today.
Wow, interesting. That is, wow, I had no idea. You verified that. In the hole is, I think, probably, if that's true, that's one of the great, misspoken. That's one of the great malaprops of all time. Everybody thinks it's in the hole. Old-time baseball guys think it's In the Hole, as far as I know. I've never heard In the Hold. All right, well, listen, the shoe.
All-time baseball guys are so open-minded.
You know, by the way, too, and then let's get into our picks here, but just a quick statement about the BCS. I'll tell you, human beings, you're not doing real great. Anyone who's old school and feels like it's better to be, baseball is better served by these umpires instead of going to replay and so on and so forth. If you're watching the postseason, you realize that's wrong. And then what's more, the human polls in college football are ridiculous this year. You know, the BCS is getting it a lot closer than what the human beings are. Cincinnati belongs ahead, and Iowa belongs ahead of USC. The human beings somehow see fit to have one loss, USC, whose loss came to Washington, and they barely beat Ohio State ahead of undefeated teams. It's just ludicrous.
Well, you know, Dave, there's a good writer from Yahoo.com named Dan Wetzel who wrote a really good article this week that came out yesterday on BCS intelligence that took a look at, you know, the difference between what Pete Carroll and Bob Stoops do at Oklahoma and USC in the teams that they play versus what Florida and Urban Meyer and Mack Brown and Texas do. That there's just it's crazy that Oklahoma and USC continue to play these really tough out-of-conference schedules. And they paid the price, and they both lost quarterbacks early on in the year, Barkley and Bradford. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, Urban Meyer plays these terrible schools, and they rely on a tough SEC schedule. And Mack Brown won't play anybody. I mean, they try to pass off Arkansas here and there as an important game. But if you take a look at, you know, who Texas has this year in Central Florida and Wyoming and Louisiana Monroe and who their big non-conference games are in the future, UCLA, Mississippi, and Cal – I just don't, we all make a big what to do about, you know, are there BCS, should there be conference championship games, should there not be? I think the real problem is some teams kind of backdoor their way in, some teams try to get in through the front door by having these tough schedules. You know, which one's better to, you know, have pride in the regular season and play real teams and get beat up or try to backdoor your way in by playing, you know, softies like, you know, Troy and Charleston like Florida does in their non-conference schedule? And I don't know the answer.
I hear you too, because you know, the SEC will all, not always, but most seasons can fall back and our conference is much tougher. That's why, you know, we have to give ourselves a break early, because once we get into the SEC slate, every game is going to be a tough one.
But you know, that's the good excuse, and I don't top to bottom, the SEC is good, but so is the Pac-10. And the Big 12 is down this year, and the ACC is down this year.
I see it as a rationalization, too. I'm just saying that is what their excuse commonly is going to be.
But the key word is it's an excuse. And anybody who just – what they're probably doing is the smart thing, which is saying, hey, why do I – if strength of schedule doesn't matter and I have enough receipts, what's the difference between a Cincinnati and a Texas program realistically other than the recruiting? You know, Cincinnati or, you know, TCU, they have to go out there and play the world beaters to even get, you know, any respect. And we just like, you know, to say the term Texas or Florida is so great and Tim Tebow, and they can get a free pass in who they play. I just think that, you know, the NCAA, in my opinion, needs to step in, and there needs to be, some sort of scheduling continuity, year in and year out with which BCS conferences play you. So, like, if you were the number one.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that. Right.
Yeah, so you have to keep these open dates, and you would avoid these situations like LSU, who doesn't leave the state. Because it's kind of like going to play golf and filling out your scorecard before you even tee off. And it's unfortunate. It's the game I love, and I buy into it. And
which one? Golf or college football?
Both. But I don't fault Mack Brown. I don't fault Urban Meyer for doing what they need to do. Because if you take a look at what Pete Carroll and Bob Stoops did this year, they went out and got their quarterback shirt, and it cost them a run at it. So
I hear you, man. I like that's an interesting thought. And the other thing is they have to decide once and for all. Is it going to be conference championships across the board or none at all? I'm fine if there aren't any, but it's ridiculous that some schools, some conferences can get away without doing those. And the other thing about the BCS, like we mentioned last week, you just touched on it when you said people like to hear the names Texas and Florida in the mix. They like the sound of that. And as far as that goes, the one thing that really would probably bring about change with the BCS, the best chance, and there's a slim chance of it, you know, no matter what. But the thing that would really shake up the BCS officials would be if you did wind up with TCU playing, you know, Boise State or even Iowa. People, that would be the thing that people would say, man, we got to fix this because only 37 people in the country watch this game. Everybody thinks they want the underdogs in there, but the fact of the matter is people do like seeing the big boys when the title's on the line.
Exactly. They don't want to see an underdog get anointed or appointed in that game. I'll tell you what's interesting, though, is, you know, there is a clause in the contract of the BCS that you can alter conference tie-in games if it's in the best interest of college football.
Ah, that's right. I forgot about
that. But 2 years ago, we had that situation where, you know, LSU got in with two losses and everybody wanted USC to play Georgia and the Rose Bowl took Illinois.
Right.
And Kansas didn't get to play their team and they were the good team. The fact is the BCS committee, which are the conference commissioners, the best interest of college football, they're the ones who decide what's in the best interest of college football. And remind you, they don't want to split national championships. So they're never going to give the AP, or they're going to do their best to not ever give the AP the chance to have a split national championship. And that's why you didn't see, you know, situations where Georgia was going to play USC. Because why would the BCS committee ever want to do anything to take the spotlight off mm-hmm. their system? I mean, they're never going to be a catalyst in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, if it happens, it happens. But it's certainly not going to be because of their doing.
Yep, good point. And all right, let me blow through my picks here in the name of time so we can hear yours. I'll just give you
really
one.
Quickly, who's winning?
Well, the Shoe, you're up, but no one's got anything to be patting themselves on the back for. I think you finally have reached 500.
I will say this. For all the Czech Republic who wanted to kill me for 12 months about not getting my pick of the year last year, I was pretty adamant that, although I wouldn't brand it, that my Shoe-In last week won by a comfortable margin.
Yep, you were right. Listen, I even jumped on the bandwagon with you and benefited from it. I'm a little under 500. The Sass and our old pal, the Ed, are lagging way, way, way behind the both of us. So it's just going to be you and me. Let me give you my picks. I'm going to take the Yellow Jackets. I've been on and off that bandwagon. I'm back on. I'm going to take the Yellow Jackets at Virginia this week. They're given 5.5 on the road. I'm taking them. I'm going to take the Hurricanes at home against Clemson. To me, that number is strikingly low. It opened up at 7.5. It's now down to 4.5. I'm going to take the Canes there. I don't want to pick against my alma mater, Hoosiers, but Northwestern giving 6.5 at home. I'll take the Wildcats there. I'll avoid the South Florida Pitt game, but the Panthers at home giving a touchdown. I don't like that for Pitt, but so I'm going to avoid that one. Boston College at Notre Dame. The Irish are giving 8 points in this one. First question, does Notre Dame ever play on the road? It seems like they're always at home. I know that they get a different pass than not just any college football team, but any pro team, that they have a network basically wrapped around their finger, basically doing their games as though they are beholden to Notre Dame, because in fact they are. And every game that the Irish play is close. That's why I say, for once, it's not going to be a close game. And Boston College is a good team. And yet I'm going to take Chaz Weiss's boys there, minus the 8. My last pick, two more picks, actually. Tennessee at Alabama. I've been talking about the Tide. They're giving 2 touchdowns at home. I'm going to take them minus 14. And then lastly, Iowa at Michigan State. People might be surprised to see it at Pick'em. The more I think about it, I think it's the Spartans game. And yet, because, I mean, this is a talk about with the gut and the heart instead of using fancy computers. I'm going with Iowa just because I want to see, somebody go undefeated and sort of screw up the BCS a little bit. So I'm going to take Iowa on the road there in a pick 'em game. Those are my picks for you this year.
Yeah, I think they're all interesting, solid picks. The one thing I will say, I don't have the stat handy, but there is an amazing statistic coming out of the ACC this year of home underdogs covering. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think one of your first picks was a home.
Yep, I took Virginia. I took the Cavs. I took Georgia Tech at the Cavs. Virginia's plus 5.5 at home.
Yeah, and I like Georgia Tech in that game too. It's just based on that statistic, which one of our analysts, Jonathan Lee, swears by and has been making a few matchsticks with this year. I got to stay away from that, but. We have that game at 50.2%, so slight edge to the Damashek and the Jackets there.
All right. So we'll see how I do. I transcended my typical five there. I went with an extra, what was that, six or seven games there. All right, let's hear yours, the shoe.
All right, so I have what I'm trying to do now is we're in that point of the season where I can actually start using a little bit more of the AccuScore historical data to give you some of our picks and what my picks are. We have enough data now that we can start to see which teams are playing to the simulations and which ones aren't. I have five picks. Three of them are solely independent me picks supported by the computers, and two of them are pure computer plays. I will start with my picks, the ones that I really like, which is TCU minus 2.5, getting 64.1% over BYU. I just remember that game from last year that there was such a discrepancy in talent that TCU was so much faster than BYU that I don't think that in 1 year with TCU returning everybody that that's going to be very different. AccuScore this year is 4-1 in picks and games where TCU has played against the spread. Only 2-4 in picks involving BYU, but I do like that. I do like the under 3 number. It's a good continuity line, so I'll lay 2.5 with TCU over BYU.
Okay.
My next pick is Oklahoma State minus 9.5 against, I think it's Baylor, who are they playing. I don't even know who they're playing. I forgot. I don't have it written down.
I'm looking for it Oklahoma as we speak here. Go ahead.
Hold on 1 second.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's Baylor. They're at Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, I laid points last week with Oklahoma State at home against Missouri. Even though we don't know about what's going on with Dez Bryant, Oklahoma State, for 2 weeks in a row, has scored over 30 points. Keith Tostin is a solid running back. I like Mike Gundy's offense. The AccuScore computers had a really good year this year with Oklahoma State. Our picks in Oklahoma State games are 5-0. We're a modest 7-6 in our Big 12 game picks, but I do like the Aggies in that game.
Okay.
Going on to my next pick, I guess I'm going to ride the Houston Cougars until they blow up in my face like Tulsa and Ball State did last year. They're getting they're laying 16.5 points against SMU. You get 53.5% in the simulations. This season right now, AccuScore's pick is 4-1 in games where Houston's played, and I haven't lost a game with Houston this year. I like the line at 17 or 16.5. I don't suggest playing it at 17.5. It's a bad continuity pick. Also, I was a little concerned on the simulation line that it was only 53.5%, and we do not have a good season track record with SMU. We're 1-4 with them, and what that shows me is that we're kind of overcompensating right now, and our computer thinks SMU is better than they are. And usually in that case, it's very similar to Vegas making the same assumption. So I think you're actually getting a gift line.
I agree. I looked right past that one, but yeah, that seems awfully low. Smooth stinks.
Yeah, so not only that, I think you go ahead and look at what our record this year is in Conference USA play. AccuScore is 11-6. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with Houston. I'm going to ride that train one more week, especially laying less than 3 touchdowns. I do not suggest it at 17.5. You get it at 17.5. Don't play it because it's an extra possession. I don't like it. My last two picks of the day, Stanford, 6.5, minus 6.5 over Arizona State. This year, in games involving Stanford and Arizona State, the AccuScore computer is 9-2. We're 11-6 in Pac-10 conference play. I like that. And my last pick is Arizona, minus 7.5 over UCLA, 61% in the computers. We're 4-1 in games involving U of A this year. We're 4-2 in games involving UCLA. I picked against UCLA a couple weeks in a row, I believe, and I've done very well. And moreover, we are 11-6 in Pac-10 conference play. That's why I'm going to go with the Wildcats. The only thing I don't like about that game, and you might want to do this too, is if you can buy a half point down to 7, I recommend it because, again, the difference between 7 and 7.5 is not a half point. It's a possession. And these are not quick strike offense.
Great note. That is a great note. I like that note. My biggest problem with that game is you're exactly right. UCLA, I looked at that one long and hard. They just can't score right now. My biggest thing looking at that game is that Arizona chooses to wear those navy blue helmets instead of the white ones. Oh. With the one red stripe and the one blue stripe. What a cool helmet that used to be. Go back to it.
Hey, Dave, I agree with you so much. I agree with you so much. But, you know, going back to my point, you always try to bet lines if you're laying points that you can be on a continuity line. 17 points or under, 10 points or under. When you get to the point like it's 7.5, you're not laying an extra half point. You're laying a possession and a stop. So you're talking about trimming 6 or 7 minutes off a game, and that always makes me very nervous. That was a big thing that happened last week in the OU-Texas game. The line was 3.5 to 4 points. People thought that was a gift line. But in reality, what you're doing is you're betting a non-quick strike offense
sure.
to be able to score one more touchdown than they probably should. And it bit a lot of people last week. And I
love that point, man. I'm admittedly not the savviest gambler in the world. I always say I do it with the gut and with the heart more than with the brain. But that is actually a savvy insight. I appreciate that one, the shoe. But also my point about the white helmet for Arizona is also valid.
Touche. I think we both made good points. That was a good 5 minutes for us.
I think it was a great half hour. Actually, we're closing in on 40 minutes, so let's cut it off there.
Can I tell a quick story, though?
All right, tell a quick story.
So I'm in Dallas last week and going out to dinner, and one of the guys in our crew were talking about the game. He's like, I don't think Oklahoma's going to win. And I said, well, I don't think they're going to win either. He's like, I bet $1,000 on Texas. I said, what'd you do that for? He said, well, you know, I know people in the program, and I just, you know, Oklahoma's not going to win. So I said, tell me you got it at 3 at least so you can at least hedge. And he's like, no, I laid 4. If they're going to win at 3, they're going to win it at 4. So, and then I was like, well, why would you do that? And he said, well, either way, I win $1,000 if Texas wins, or I'll be happy that OU wins.
No. That is the rationalization. That is a direct violation of the Damashek fan conduct policy. I'm afraid your friend is dead wrong. There is no rationalization, no justification under any circumstances for laying money against your team. There is none of this nonsense of like, well, I'll be happy either way because I'll win one way or the other. No, shame on you. Shame, I say.
I say to this guy, I said, first of all, so when did you become so rich that you can afford to spend $1,000 on happiness, you know? I mean, I bet $50 on a game, and I freak out. I'm rooting for my money. So this guy was just dying to be made an example of, and he was. Texas wins by 3. He loses the bet. He loses the vig. Oklahoma loses. Just, you're done. You're fired.
Sooner you call yourself a winner. Longhorn, you call yourself a winner. You know what I call you? Jerk! Take that, you creep. All right, listen, that was for him, the shoe. We've run well over time here. We'll look forward to yapping with you, though, next week, though. Let's hope we can have half as good a podcast as we've just had here.
I had a great time, Dave.
Me too, the shoe. I'm almost sad it's going to end, but it must, and we'll be back for more Huey and Applesauce later on, specifically our NFL picks. We'll do that tomorrow, but in the meantime, thanks so much, podcasters. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Damashek, Damashek, loves Lemieux, hates Belichick, spins a yarn any size, blasts those jerks just like flies. Look out, here comes Dave Damashek. Is he fast? Not a bit, but he makes up for it with tons of grit. If he's wrong, what's he do? Says he's wrong like Corbett caught him too. Hey there goes Dave Damashek. Cool Cats spelled with K's is his fantasy team. When they hit the field, Bill Simmons starts to cry. Damashek, Damashek, his best friend is his TV set. Steelers fan since days of old, instead of red bleeds black and gold. Look out, it's Dave Damashek.